Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome and thank you for joining us today. I am pleased to call to order the June 18th, 2020 meeting of the New Jersey Highlands Council. This is our first meeting since we were last able to meet on February 20th, 2020. It's great to be meeting again. I hope everyone is holding up well and will continue to stay healthy and safe as the state moves toward reopening. As you are all aware, the current health crisis caused by COVID-19 has had a devastating effect on our state's economy and has claimed thousands of lives. On March 21st, 2020, Governor Murphy enacted Executive Order 107, encouraging public bodies to hold remote public meetings. In light of the continued public health emergency, the Highlands Council will hold all council meetings remotely until further notice. The health and safety of our members and staff, as well as those members of the public who attend our meetings, is our highest priority. To date, the COVID-19 virus is responsible for the loss of more than 400,000 people worldwide, with more than 100,000 here in the United States. In New Jersey, the second hardest hit state in the United States, we have lost more than 12,000 lives. This extraordinary and unprecedented loss of life is a tragedy that has impacted nearly every family in our state. Many of us have lost loved ones, family, colleagues, neighbors, and friends. In recognition of the impact that COVID-19 has had on the lives of so many, I would like us all to pause for a moment of silence to remember all those we have lost to this deadly virus. Thank you. While I'm really looking forward to meeting in person again, I am grateful that technology allows us to hold our June meeting remotely today, with everyone able to participate by telephone. Before we get started, I'd like to provide some guidelines for the meeting that will help ensure that everyone can fully participate. First, for members of the public, all members of the public will remain on mute throughout the meeting. However, there will be opportunity to comment on certain resolutions following council discussion and a general public comment period at the end of the meeting. When it's time for public comment, I will make an announcement. At that time, members of the public wishing to speak should press *9 on their telephones. Each caller then will be placed in a queue. When it is your turn to speak, the moderator will identify you by the last four digits of your telephone number and your line will be unmuted. Please begin your comments by providing your name and any organization that you are representing. When you are finished speaking, please indicate that you are done. As a reminder, comments are limited to 3 minutes and members of the public are limited to one comment per resolution and one comment during the general public comment at the end of the meeting. For council members, I want to remind our council members that their lines will remain unmuted during the meeting, and they will need to mute and unmute themselves on their individual phones. So please be sure to keep your phone muted unless you are speaking to minimize background noise. Also, if council members wish to make a comment or ask a question, it is important to identify yourself before speaking. Please speak slowly and clearly so that everyone can hear the discussion and make every effort to refrain from speaking over each other. When you have finished speaking, kindly state that you are done. Before the roll call, I just want to remind everyone that this is the first time we're holding a public meeting by teleconference, and there will be some glitches, I'm sure. So please, let's be patient with the process. Annette, roll call, please.
Kurt Alstead.
Here.
Tracy Carluccio.
Here.
Tim Daugherty. Michael Dressler.
Here.
Michael Francis.
Here.
Robert Haltaway.
Here.
Bruce James.
Here.
Paul Richko.
Here.
Michael Sabatich.
This is far bigger an issue.
Michael Sabatich.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. James Vizioli.
Here.
Oh, James is on. Okay. Richard Voden.
Here.
Robert Walton.
Here.
Thank you.
Okay. Just before we go on, we can hear a conversation going on in the background. So if there's someone that, I don't hear it now. It just stopped. Okay. Well, we move on now to the Pledge of Allegiance.
Open public meeting.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Annette, the Open Public Meeting Act. Thank you.
You're welcome. This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act 9, I'm sorry, NJSA 10:4-6 at SEC. The Highlands Council sent written notice of the time, date, and method of participation in this meeting to newspapers of circulation throughout the state and posted notice on the Highlands Council website. Pursuant to the declared COVID-19 public health emergency and state of emergency, and in order to maintain recommended social distancing practices, the meeting is being conducted by means of teleconference. As stated in the public notice, any interested party may participate by telephone by dialing 929-436-2866. The notice also advises that participants may comment on particular items on the agenda by emailing comments in advance, making comments during the meeting itself, and/or emailing comments after the meeting by close of business on June 19, 2020.
Thank you, Annette. We move on to the Pledge of Allegiance. Since we last met, we are now witnessing a groundswell of protests and rallies across New Jersey and across the country calling for racial and social justice. This feels like an important moment in time to recognize that our country could and needs to do better in how we treat all who live here. So as we say the words of the Pledge of Allegiance together, let's reflect on the last phrase, which calls for liberty and justice for all. Please join me in reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America
and to the Republic which stands, one nation, God,
indivisible,
justice for all.
Okay. that was kind of a little bit like a choir in the background, right? We move on now to our next on the agenda is approval of the minutes of the February 20th, 2020 meeting. May I please have a motion in a second, and please remember to identify yourself as you are making the motion. Need a motion?
I'll make it.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Who made the motion?
Mike Francis.
Okay. And do we have a second?
Jim Vizioli will second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Is there any council discussion? Hearing no council discussion, Annette, please poll.
Councilmember Alston.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty. Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Haltaway.
Abstain.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Sabatich.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember
Yes.
This is Bruce. I think somebody has a TV or something on in the background.
I hear it. It's
really
like a ringing noise now.
Well, now something's ringing, but
it's getting louder.
That's Tinkerbell knocking on the door.
Yeah, Tinkerbell.
Yeah, Tinkerbell needs to. I don't want to clap my hands and come back alive.
Annette,
Councilmember. No, I didn't finish. Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Richfield.
Yes. Chairman's report. Before I begin my report, I would like to acknowledge two recent losses. In April, our Vice Chairman, Kurt Alstead, lost his father, Herman Zeke Alstead Jr., who was just shy of his 80th birthday. A lifelong resident of New Jersey and Marine Corps veteran, Zeke was the proud son of immigrant parents and lived his life as an example of how to realize the American dream. At a young age, he began working in the family business, a Sunoco service station in Clifton, New Jersey. Although the family sold the business in 2007, it remained in operation for over 69 years and holds the distinction of being one of the three oldest continuously owned Sunoco franchises in the United States. In 1977, Zeke relocated his family to Chester and was an active member of the community, joining the Chester Volunteer Fire Company No. 1 and serving for 37 years. In 2009, Zeke was honored as the Fireman of the Year. He will certainly be missed by his family and community. And Kurt, our sincere condolences. Would you like to say a few words, Kurt?
Well, thank you very much. It's very kind of you to recognize my father. And we're grateful for everything that everybody did and for the gift that the Highlands Council staff sent to the fire company. I just was notified that. So that was very kind of you and very thoughtful. And thank you very much. We're certainly going to miss Dad.
Thanks, Kurt. Again, our condolences. I also wanted to take a moment to acknowledge the death of Candace McGee Ashman, called Candy by all who knew her, who passed on May 22nd at the age of 96. Many of you may know that Candy was an extraordinary champion of the natural world, whose contributions to environmental protection in the state of New Jersey will be felt for generations to come. She is best known for her work at the Pinelands Commission, where she held the distinction of being the longest-serving member in the history of the organization. Candy was one of the original commissioners appointed by Governor Brendan Byrne in 1979 and continued her service straight through until her passing. In 2010, the New Jersey Conservation Foundation named a 4,000-acre property the Candace McGee Ashman Preserve at Forked River. And in 2018, the Pinelands Commission dedicated the Candace McGee Ashman Education Center. Beyond the Pinelands, Candy's impact could be felt throughout the state. She served as executive director and three-term president of the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions. She chaired the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection's Great Swamp Advisory Committee and was a trustee of the Highlands Coalition. Candy was greatly admired throughout the environmental community in New Jersey, and her life and work acknowledging. She leaves behind a legacy of knowledge, dedication, and commitment. So moving on, the first item I would like to address is the work of the Highlands Council staff. I am pleased to report that while staff is working remotely, they are fully functional, responding to calls, emails, mail, and have access to everything they need to maintain day-to-day activities. Staff have continued to move forward on key projects that are important to our mission, and operations really have continued without interruption. I just want to take a moment to thank you all for your hard work, dedication, and willingness to find face of many new challenges. Next, I'd like to share some very good news on a project that has been in the works for quite a while. Earlier this month, the Highlands Council, the State Planning Commission, and the Office of Planning Advocacy completed an update on a Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, that was originally established in 2007 before the RMP was even adopted. This MOU is significant for a number of reasons, but largely because it streamlines processes for Highlands municipalities and counties. The Highlands Council and the State Planning Commission have agreed to coordinate on endorsements, center designations, and a number of other areas where our respective missions align, and ensures that maximum benefits accompany the approvals of each agency. In addition, the MOU provides a path forward for State Planning Commission endorsement of the Regional Master Plan with respect to the Highlands planning area, making planning area conformance more significant and attractive to planning area towns. The MOU also directs our agencies to work together to encourage the creation of TDR receiving areas through state plan endorsement and provide the Highlands Council with input on future updates to the state plan. This is a really nice milestone for the Highlands Council, and I know we all look forward to state plan endorsement of the RMP. So my sincere thanks to the staff members who worked on this. And with that, I'll turn things over to Lisa Plevin for the Executive Director's report. Any council members that have any comments or questions for me or Lisa after her report, please let us know. Okay, Lisa?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I could remind everyone on the council to please mute your personal phones, because we are getting quite a bit of echoing and feedback. So again, council members, if you could mute, but mute on your phone, on your personal phone. Okay, thank you. So I'm assuming everyone can hear. Oh, I'm still getting feedback. All right, we'll proceed. So to give you a quick COVID-19 update, as Chair Richko mentioned, the Highlands Council office in Chester continues to remain closed in support of Executive Order 104, but all staff members are fully functional and working remotely, and operations, as Chairman Richko said, have continued without interruption. And a sort of interesting tidbit that I find interesting is that since we left the office on March 18th, we've actually received 331 pieces of mail. So even though we're not physically there, you know, people keep reaching out and requesting assistance and information. So I wanted to give a quick budget update for the council. As you obviously know, New Jersey is facing an unprecedented budget shortfall due to the financial impacts of COVID-19. As an immediate measure, the New Jersey Office of Management and Budget has instituted a spending freeze across all state agencies. While this spending freeze is in place, the Highlands Council cannot fund any new plan conformance grants or approve any new scopes of work for plan conformance grants that are currently underway. Since our regional master plan account is a separate account, it is not subject to the spending freeze. Therefore, we are able to continue to pay invoices for those contracts underway and to potentially authorize a contract for the economic sustainability plan, which is on today's agenda. Those contracts underway include the Rutgers Stormwater Management Project, the Interactive Environmental Resource Inventories Project, the Highlands Trail Mapping Project, and the Functional Ecosystem Valuation, or FEV, Field Testing Project. Regarding the Highlands Council's operating budget, we expect to have sufficient funding to cover salaries and expenses through the new extension of the fiscal year, which now goes through September 30th, 2020. I wanted to give a quick update on the issue regarding the New Jersey Council on Local Mandates. You'll recall that the Highlands Council was notified last November that a complaint had been filed with the New Jersey Council on Local Mandates by the Township of West Milford that challenged the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Act as an unfunded mandate. Because there is no recourse for judicial review of a council decision, a negative result could have had serious consequences for this agency. Several settlement discussions took place with township officials over the last several months, most recently in April. And I'm very pleased to report that as a result, on June 1st, the Township of West Milford requested that the complaint be dismissed. Moving along to plan conformance updates, I wanted to let you know that Parsippany Troy Hills Township has been working on their petition for plan conformance. They've submitted all their documents in draft form and staff is working with their professionals to finalize their petition. We are hopeful that their petition hearing before the Highlands Council will be occurring within the next few months. And additionally, under plan conformance implementation, I've got dates. One is Highbridge Township Borough in Hunterdon County has adopted its open space and recreation plan element on May 18th. And Montville Township has been working on an interesting groundwater recharge enhancement project. The township's consultants have completed an extensive field work and monitoring modeling of the project area that will ultimately support a comprehensive engineering design. A final report will include hydrologic and hydraulic calculations designed to improve the watershed basin and enhance groundwater recharge. For municipally issued exemptions, since my prior report, the Highlands Council has been notified of two municipally issued exemptions, both for Califon Borough in Hunterdon County, which issued two exemptions number fives. For project reviews, staff has completed a Highlands Preservation Area approval review for a stream restoration project in Ringwood Borough. The project will enhance and restore approximately 2,170 linear feet of trout habitat within the West Brook in Ringwood Borough, and Highland staff found the project to be consistent with the regional master plan. Additionally, staff has completed a water quality management plan amendment review related to a residential development project in Somerset County. The proposed project is located in Far Hillsborough in a HUC 14 sub watershed that is not in a deficit area and therefore not subject to any further review by the Highlands Council. And for a HDC allocation update, I wanted to let you know since my last report, staff has completed three HDC allocation reviews. One for Mansfield Township in Warren County for a 39-acre residential property. We've allocated eight HDCs. In Franklin Township, Warren County for a 12.5 non-residential property, we've allocated 42.75 HDCs. And also Franklin Township, Warren County for an 89-acre mixed non-residential and residential use property, allocated 47.75 HDCs. For open space, on May 29th, the Highlands Council reached out to its open space partners to solicit proposals for preservation projects that might qualify for funding under the Federal Highlands Conservation Act grant program, which is expected to open a 2020 funding round shortly. Proposals are due to the Highlands Council back by Tuesday, June 30th. I wanted to share some recent OPRA requests that came into the Highlands Council. We have responded to five OPRA requests since March 18th. They include requests for documents related to Millie's Court project in Franklin Borough, the appeal of the Chester Borough Center designation, records related to vernal pool mapping, exemptions related to a property in Mount Olive, and a build-out report for White Township. And we have responded to all of these. For municipal average update, as previously reported, following a thorough review of existing data, consultation with the State Agriculture Development Committee and the State TDR Bank, the Municipal Average Committee determined that additional analysis is required to determine an accurate current municipal average for the Highlands region. Council staff have continued to collaborate with state partners to determine how such a project might be funded. And lastly, under outreach and constituent assistance, staff continues to provide full guidance to landowners and their representatives regarding the New Jersey DEP Highlands area rules and the regional master plan. In the past few months, calls into the office have dropped off somewhat, but that is to be expected given the circumstances. And I just want to close with reminding everyone that our next council meeting is scheduled for July 16th. Thank you. Back to you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Lisa. Any questions or comments from the council for Lisa? Okay, hearing none. Next on the agenda is consideration of a resolution to approve submission of the 2019 annual report. Section 27 of the Highlands Act requires that the Highlands Council on or before March 31st in each year, or as extended, prepare and submit an annual report of its activities and an operating financial statement to the governor, the legislature, and the governing body, and the chief executive officer of each municipality and county in the Highlands region. In addition, Executive Order Number 37 indicates that each state authority's governing body needs to approve the issuance of the annual report. The council has voted by resolution to release the annual report a few times, but in past years, this may have been overlooked. We are doing so this year and will do so in the future. Approval of this resolution would authorize release of that annual report. May I have a motion and a second to approve the resolution? Please remember to unmute your phone and identify yourself as you're making the motion. Who would like to make this motion?
Boltaway, I'll make the motion.
Okay, and who would like to second it?
Jim Vizioli, I will second.
Okay, and Annette, did you get the second for the motion and the second?
Yes, I did, Chairman.
Okay, so we have a motion and second. Do any council members have questions or comments about this resolution? Remember, council members, if you would like to comment, please remember to unmute your personal device, state your name, and indicate that you would like to comment. I will acknowledge you one at a time, and please remember to let us know when you are finished with your comment and remute your device when you are done. Again, this is for council comment only at this time. We will get to the public comment shortly. So any council members have any comment or question about this resolution? Okay, hearing none, we will now hear comments from members of the public. As a reminder, members of the public wishing to speak should press star 9 on their telephones and wait to be called on by the moderator. The moderator will identify you by the last 4 digits of your telephone number and your line will be unmuted. Please begin your comments by providing your name and any organization that you are representing. When you are finished speaking, please indicate that you are done. So if you'd like to make a comment, press star 9 at this time. Okay. Mr. Moderator, do we have anyone that from the public that would like to speak on this resolution?
Mr. Chairman, I do not see anybody who has raised their hands to comment.
Okay, let's just give them a second here to. Okay, and so no one.
No one has raised their hands.
Okay, so before we vote, do council members have any further comment or last?
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. Somebody has raised their hands.
Okay, so let's open that and let's hear who it is.
So, caller with the telephone number ending in 1671, your line is being unmuted. Please provide your name and organization if applicable. As a reminder, comments are limited to 3 minutes when you have finished your comment. You are being unmuted now.
This is Julia Summers. I'm executive director of the New Jersey Highlands. Can you hear me?
Hello, Julia.
Hello, Mr. Chairman. Glad you saw my hand up. I did press star 9 a little while before you saw my hand was up. I wanted to talk about what I think is a historic occurrence, which is the State Commission's approval of the MOU with the New Jersey Highlands Water Protection and Planning Council. Oh boy, has this been a long time coming. I regret that the council has lost, I suspect, many opportunities because of the lack of this MOU, but we are really pleased that it is in place now, and we look forward to seeing the council share the good news with all Highlands communities and encourage them to take advantage. I hope you do some very strong educational outreach so that communities fully understand what it means.
Julia, this is Chairman Richko. Just hold on one second. This public comment is for the resolution about releasing the annual report.
Ah, I apologize.
I know this is a little confusing for members of the public as far as the commenting time. So I heard your comments, and if you'd like to continue those comments on the MOU, please join us for the public comments at the end of the meeting.
I hope I remember what I said, and I'll try and do it again.
You did fine. So anyone else? Thank you, Julia.
Thank
anyone
you.
Else? Moderator, are there any other public comments?
There are no other public comments.
Okay. So any further comments from the council? Hearing none. Annette, please call.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty. Councilmember Dressel.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Sabatich.
I'm not sure you can hear me, but I'm voting yes. Can you hear that?
Yes.
I can hear you fine. Yep.
Okay, thank
you. Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Richko.
Yes. Next on the agenda is consideration of a resolution to award a contract to develop an economic sustainability plan for the Highlands region. I understand that Councilmember James will now recuse himself due to a potential conflict of interest and will rejoin our meeting after all discussion and voting on this topic has occurred. So thank you, Member James, and you are now recused.
Okay, thank you.
I would like to turn now to our Budget and Finance Chair, Bob Holtaway, to introduce the resolution and to provide a summary of the project. So, Bob, take it away.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. I will provide an overview and some history on the project, which will be followed by a deeper dive by Mary Jude. We ask that you hold your questions and comments until both Mary Jude and I have completed our comments. As I shared with you in the May 2019 council meeting, the council has begun to deliver on one of the key recommendations from the MRP monitoring report. The monitoring report acknowledged that both the Highlands Act and the Regional Master Plan advocate for a strong, sustainable economy, but more specific actions are necessary to realize that goal. One specific recommendation toward that end is the development of an economic plan for the Highlands' future. Council could not have anticipated the global pandemic and the economic impacts of COVID-19. Concepts that were valid 6 months ago may now be in question. Now more than ever, we need to formulate sound guidance on how to move forward to energize our economy and support our Highlands communities in a changing world. As a first step to address this monitoring report recommendation, the council put together a steering committee comprised of one economic planning representative from each of our 7 constituent counties and myself to help guide the effort of preparing an economic sustainability plan for the region. The steering committee held our kickoff meeting on April 23rd of last year and proceeded to help council staff develop a request for proposals, an RFP, to solicit a professional team to work with the council to develop the plan. We released the RFP on September 10th and accepted proposals through November 4th. We are pleased to report that we received 7 qualified proposals. Our team conducted interviews with 5 of the consultant teams. Although there were many good ideas offered by the various consultants, the review team unanimously agreed that one consultant team was by far the most qualified and offered the best understanding of what we need to achieve. it was made clear that the changing landscape must be addressed head on. Historically, the advice given for a robust economy and tax revenues has been greenfield development. In our case, this fails on the point that we lack greenfields. So I look forward to creative recommendations from the team. The Budget and Finance Committee met by conference call on February 6, 2020 to review the staff's recommendation and also unanimously voted to advance this recommendation on to the full council for consideration. Our recommendation is to award the contract to K. Moyne Associates 310 in partnership with Mazur Consulting, the Camoyne team, to prepare an economic sustainability plan for the Highlands region for a contract amount not to exceed $149,861.30. The council's 2018 financial budget allocated an amount of $300,000 for this project. Mary Jude Haycock-Ware, Highland Council Planning Manager, will spend a few minutes explaining the process in a bit more detail. Once again, please hold your questions and comments until Mary Jude has completed her comments. Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Mary Jude?
Thank you, Councilmember Holtaway, Chairman Richko. I'm pleased to provide a short history of the process the council followed to get to the point where we are ready to begin development of an economic sustainability plan. As Chairman Richko mentioned earlier at the beginning of this meeting, the devastation of the COVID-19 pandemic has caused very serious economic impact. In response to the economic devastation being caused by the COVID-19 pandemic, staff revisited the scope of work for the economic sustainability plan and reached out to each of the consultant teams to make sure their proposals could appropriately address the current economic conditions. We are confident the chosen consultant team is prepared to factor in the vastly different economic picture we are now facing. Specifically, the consultant will be tasked with evaluating all economic factors as part of their responsibilities under the scope of work. The realities of a post-COVID-19 economy are obviously a very significant set of factors. These will, of course, take a primary place in the work to be accomplished. As Councilmember Holtway just said, the timing for this study is opportune. While the monitoring report recommends this work is necessary to meet the demand for economic sustainability, we could not have imagined a greater need than right now. As you know, both the Highlands Act and the Regional Master Plan speak to the need to maintain a desirable quality of life in the region and ensure the economic viability of our community. When the Council recently conducted the Master Plan Monitoring Program, one of the key recommendations was to expand our economic planning with a specific Highlands Economic Development Plan. In thinking about how to approach this effort, the Council felt that it would be important to reach out to others within our region who regularly plan for and implement economic initiatives. This insight led us to the creation of the Economic Sustainability Plan Steering Committee to help guide the project. As Councilmember Holtway mentioned, the committee is comprised of Councilmember Holtway and one representative from each of the seven counties in the Highlands Committee. Committee members were identified and selected based on their expertise in and experience with economic sustainability planning. The purpose of the Economic Sustainability Plan Steering Committee is to assist the Council in developing a comprehensive economic development plan for the region. As already mentioned, the Steering Committee first met on April 23rd for their kickoff meeting, and then continued to work with council staff in developing a request for proposals, an RFP, for development of an economic sustainability plan. The RFP specifies six tasks. The first of those is development of a stakeholder outreach plan. The first step in that task is assembling a technical advisory committee, a TAC, and ensuring that the consultant team is aware of all the various perspectives that are relevant in the region. Highland staff will work closely with the consultant team to make certain the TAC is fully representative of a diversity of viewpoints. Of course, at least the initial public outreach and stakeholder engagement will be conducted according to appropriate social distancing standards. And stakeholder involvement will continue throughout the entire project. The second task in the scope of work is development of an economic profile for the Highlands region. The economic profile is essentially a picture of what the Highlands economy currently looks like. It will be drawn from existing data as well as input received from the stakeholders. The third task is analysis of economic growth potential in the Highlands region. This step involves investigating all of the potential economic assets in the region, including our natural resources. Each major industry that currently operates in the Highlands will be considered for its economic potential. The project will also look at existing factors like local zoning, development regulations, available technology, and others that may either support or hinder economic activity. We expect that the realities of post-COVID-19 economy will factor heavily into this part of the analysis. The fourth task is development of economic growth strategies. This phase of the project will develop strategies to expand potential growth, targeting priority areas identified in the previous growth analysis. These strategies may be appropriate for short-term activity, long-term, or ongoing efforts. The fifth task is development of an implementation action plan. Ultimately, the targeted priority areas and economic growth strategies will be presented in an action plan that assigns responsibilities to various levels of government, private entities, and non-government organizations. The implementation action plan will also provide measures for success, so steps may be taken to modify as necessary. And the sixth task is the deliverability of the economic sustainability plan for the Highlands. The entire project will be assembled into a document which may be adopted as an addendum to the Highlands Regional Master Plan. So the RFP was released in September 2019, proposals accepted through early November. The council received 7 qualified proposals. 5 of those consultant teams were interviewed. Each of the teams of consultants had varied approaches to conducting outreach, gathering data, assembling strategies, and various implementation schemes for future actions. Ultimately, the review team determined that one consultant team offered the best overall approach and exhibited the clearest understanding of the goals of this project. The Camoin team is comprised of Camoin Associates 310 and Mazur Consulting. The team has significant experience in developing economic plans and implementation strategies for many regional entities. We spoke with each of their references and received not just confirmation that they could do the job, but high praise about their process, their professionalism, and the ease of working with them. It was also informative that each of the references that had hired them back multiple times because of their previous working experience. Additionally, the Camoin team proposal was the most cost efficient of all the proposals we received. So Highland staff feels very confident in recommending a contract award to the Camoin team. As Councilmember Holtway mentioned, the Budget and Finance Committee has reviewed this proposed contract award at their meeting in February 6th and then voted to advance it to the full council for your consideration. As a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, award of the contract has been delayed. However, the scope of work as originally included in the RFP is still valid and allows for the project to proceed. Development of the economic sustainability plan will give great consideration to our current affairs and use a post-COVID-19 economy as a significant factor in evaluating and planning for the Highlands' economic future. The timing of this effort is quite fortuitous. Now, perhaps more than ever, we need a solid path forward to maintaining a sustainable economy in our Highlands. I'd be happy to answer any questions or provide additional detail. Thank you. And back to you, Chairman Richco.
All right. Thank you, Bob and Mary Jude. Before we have a discussion, may I have a motion and a second on this resolution?
Jim Vizioli will move it.
Okay. And who would like to second it? Do we have a second?
Bob Holtaway, I'll second it.
Okay. We have a motion and a second, so we will now have council discussion on this resolution. Council members, just remember to unmute yourself and let us know who's speaking.
Chairman, it's Mike Dressler.
Okay.
Chairman, it's Mike Dressler.
Yes, Council Member Dressler, go ahead.
It's very difficult, given the circumstances on the phone, but I have to recuse myself on this matter also.
Okay. All right, so just take notice of that, and we'll have any other comments from council members on this resolution.
Member Walton's here.
Yes.
Good to go?
Go ahead. Council Member Walton, you're on.
So I am reminded of my favorite Hayek quote, "The curious task of economics is to demonstrate to men how little they really know about what they imagine they can design." This is a fool's errand to try to divine an economic plan or strategy or whatever you wish to call it that will have any positive effect on the economy, either in the region or in any particular county. This is simply not what governments were meant to do, and they can't do it. They don't do a good job of it. So one, we shouldn't be doing this. Two, every county that we are partnering with have their own economic development agencies, departments, divisions, which begs the question, why are we duplicating this work? And if they are so successful at managing their local economies, why on earth would they need the Highlands to step in and manage it too? The state also has an economic development authority and agencies. So here we have more and more duplication of do-nothing government. I'm sure this will pass because I know that there's bipartisan support for economic development. And I am looking forward to seeing my fellow members support President Trump's economic development ideas, which he's an advocate for these kind of agencies. So this will be a real treat to see this kind of bipartisan cooperation at the federal, state, county, and at the Highlands level as well. One thing I found interesting in the presentation of the credentials of the award-winning contractor for this is there is great praise from their references for their plans and strategies, but I heard no mention of praise of the results. So apparently these guys have prepared wonderful plans, but perhaps, as I've stated, you know, as I began, the results simply aren't there because they can't be there. I will give you a strategic plan to develop the economy in the Highlands in four words. Repeal the Highlands Act. Period. That concludes my remarks, Carl. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Council Member Walton. Is there any other council members that would like to speak on this resolution?
This is my.
Okay, Mike Francis, yes.
So let me understand. Is the strategy of this effort to help people navigate through the existing rules or constraints that the regional master plan has to encourage more development, because some of the strategies in the Highlands legislation is not meant to do that. So I just want to understand what the basic strategy is.
Okay, I'm having some difficulty hearing you, but I got the gist of it. Hopefully, Lisa, Mary Jude, Bob, any of you would like to address that?
Mr. Chairman, I will take a crack at it.
Yes, go ahead.
As we go back through history, and I even mentioned it in my lead-in, that the policies for years have been, greenfield development, let's build new stuff, it'll bring people, it'll bring tax revenues. And what's happening in the entire state of New Jersey and even a good part of the country is that our green fields are disappearing, whether through overdevelopment in certain areas or just environmental regulations. The reality is that that mode of economic incentive or anticipated incentive is not valid anymore, and a new paradigm has got to be understood or developed in order to try to get us through the time. And indeed, COVID has really upset the apple cart on what we understand and what we do and what the economy really is. But, you know, we are dealing with something new, and this is the first time in history that we've come up against the prospect of being built out. And is it redevelopment? Is it expanded development? Is it greater intensity? I mean, there's a lot of roads that this whole concept can go down. And I think we need a good, solid look at it in order to provide a new way to try to solve this problem. And if we do it once, then the other counties don't have to do it seven times. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Council Member Holtaway. Any other council members would like to comment on this resolution? Okay, hearing no further comment, we will now hear comments from members of the public. As a reminder, members of the public wishing to speak should press star 9 on their telephones and wait to be called on by the moderator. So if you'd like to speak, press star 9 now. And moderator, do we have anyone that would like to speak on this motion, I mean, on this resolution, excuse me?
We do. I'll just wait a minute to see how many other people put their hands up. All right. Caller with the telephone number ending in 4723, your line is being unmuted. Please provide your name and organization if applicable. As a reminder, comments are limited to 3 minutes and indicate when you have finished your comment. Thank you. You are now unmuted.
Yeah. Thanks for letting me speak. My name's Hank Klump. I own 150 acres in the Highlands Preservation Area, and it wasn't by choice. This proposal that you people are trying to get through here, if you think about the pine lands and the highlands, you've got probably 40% of this state already preserved. So when you're looking at economic stuff, and I think Mr. Waldron said the right thing, is to stop the highlands. But here's the other thought that really sticks in my mind, is how many of these committee men are politicians? Here we go again. We got the Highlands Act because of the politicians. And that was 15 years ago. You talk about an economic upset on the privately owned property owner in the Highlands. How about probably two-thirds of private owned? How about taking care of those people? I mean, this... you know, it all sounds good on paper, but it doesn't work out. Just look at the devastating of the farms and the farmland in the Highlands today. And it's the proof is there. We definitely, as a property owner and a farmer, we definitely need help. And it's got to come from the state. And I believe you people can help us get these monies by backing us more and going down to Trenton and tell them, hey, these people deserve something. I mean, we're doing this for the water, supposedly. And you go back further and look at the golf courses. Unrestricted use. Come on, this is the water that we're saving. And they buy the water, they have contracts for, I don't know exactly, but probably maybe $150 for a million gallons. Come on, there's something that it could be $200 for a million gallons. But I really feel that the people in the Highlands are really getting pushed over, and it's not going to stop anytime soon, whether we got the COBA here or not. I mean, it's really an upset for sure, but...
Hank, you have 15 seconds. Thank you.
Hey, Tom, thanks for letting me speak. I appreciate that, and I'll give my comments to somebody else or whatever, but thanks again. I appreciate you letting me speak. This is something I've never done in my life. And what can I say? Thanks for letting me spout off a little bit. It's been a long time. And I do miss you people. And what can I say? God bless you all.
Okay.
And take care.
Hank, thank you. Anyone else is on the queue? Anyone else is from the public is going to speak? Moderator?
Yes, caller with the last four digits 61671. You're being unmuted. Please provide your name and organization.
This is Julia Samas, and this time I hope to be on point. I'm executive director of the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. We support this resolution. We think that it is really important to focus on the whole region and its economy. We think it's the most efficient way to do this, to have all of the counties and the 88 communities of the region included in an economic plan. We think it is likely that it will focus on recreation, tourism, agriculture, and redevelopment. And that's exactly where we think that it should go. So we look forward to hearing more about the plan as it is developed. But obviously it will focus on the resources of the Highlands, which are tremendous. We think this is absolutely the way to go and support the resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Julia.
Okay.
Moderator, anyone else?
Yes, caller with the last four digits 4934. Your line is being unmuted. Please provide your name and organization.
Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. This is Elliot Ruga. I'm the policy director of the New Jersey Highlands Coalition, and I'd like to comment in response to Council Member Walton's claiming that this is not the responsibility of the Highlands Council. The only way to come up with an economic sustainability guide for the region is to do it on a regional basis, which is something that municipalities and counties on their own do not have the perspective to do. And let me quote directly from the Act, which is section 1320-10, that the Highlands Council is to encourage consistent with the state development and redevelopment plan and smart growth strategies and principles, appropriate patterns of compatible residential, commercial, and industrial development, redevelopment, and economic growth in or adjacent to areas already utilized for such purposes, and discourage piecemeal, scattered, and inappropriate development in order to accommodate local and regional growth and economic development in an orderly way, while protecting the Highlands environment from the individual and cumulative adverse impacts thereof, unquote. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Elliot. Moderator, anyone else?
As a reminder, press star 9 to raise your hand and make a comment. As of right now, I do not see any additional commentators.
Okay.
You are unmuted.
All right. Before we vote, do any council members have further comment?
Mr. Chairman, there is one other person
okay.
Has just raised their hand.
Who is that?
With the last four digits 7985. You are being unmuted. Please provide your name and organization.
Hi, good evening. This is Megan Hunter. I'm the president and CEO of the Morris County Chamber of Commerce. We have a economic development division, and I'm calling to thank the Highlands Council for moving this forward. I also served on the committee, the selection committee for the consultant, and we were very impressed with their qualifications. We do appreciate the support at the regional level. As you know, much of Morris County is in the Highlands region. And it's really important to combine resources, especially at this time as we go into some unknowns. We do know that there is quite a bit of interest in moving west, and we're hearing that from a lot of our communities, especially during this time of social distancing. So we're excited to move this forward and work with the consultants to identify trends and have them reach out to stakeholders and assist with the data. It's quite an undertaking. And we're all for a thriving, strong economy, especially in this diverse geography that is the Highlands. We're all for quality of life and improving things for our children. I have three that I'm raising in the Highlands region. So it's really an extraordinary opportunity right now for us to come together. The Economic Development Corporation has allocated additional funds, as well as the County of Morris, to combine efforts with the Highlands to create a economic development plan for the county, and our Freeholder Board has supported that wholeheartedly. So we're very excited about moving forward. We thank you again for all of your support, and we look forward to working with you on this effort. So thank you.
Thank you, Megan. Thank you for your comments. Moderator, any other comments from the public?
You are unmuted.
I see no other commentators.
Okay, so I will close the public comment. And before we vote, do any council members have any further comments at this time?
This is Member Walton again.
Yes.
I just want to clarify, Mr. Arugula mischaracterized and misstated my objection. I don't dispute that the Highlands Act calls for us to engage in economic development. It is yet another example of the shortcomings of this act. I question the wisdom of doing so, and that we should use our discretion in how we go about economic development, fulfilling that requirement, and I don't think this is the way to do it. But he's quite right. The Highlands Act tells us to do it.
Okay. Any other comments from the council before we vote? Okay. Just remember that Councilmember James and Dressler have recused themselves from this vote. So, Annette, please poll.
I'm sorry. Councilmember Olmsted.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty. Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember Sevetich.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Thank you.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
No.
Chairman Richko.
Yes. Motion passes 8-1. Okay. Council members, we now move to old and new business. I know that Council Member Francis has something for old business, and if any other council members do, we'll wait first for Council Member Francis. So Council Member Francis, you're on.
Thank you. I'd like to report to the council the status and the Borough of Packline. I'm very excited to announce that we've received a $145,000 grant to address the HAB issue in Lake Packline. I believe, to my knowledge, we're the only town that independently applied for and received this grant. And so the grant is really it's a proposed project, demonstration project, designed to demonstrate the effectiveness of bottom diffused aeration for the prevention, mitigation, and control of freshwater harmful ivy blooms. The project will target Crescent Cove of Lake Apacon. The existing data we have and our experience confirmed that Crescent Cove is consistently one, if not the most impaired area of the lake. Packing up for HABs. It's an area of about 60 to 70 acres. And so project is going to consist of about 38 bottom air diffusers. There'll be 12 diffusers placed across the mouth of Crescent Cove where River Styx Bridge is as a barrier, if you will. So We're very excited about this. The company doing it is Everblue Lakes. They're out of Michigan. They're probably one of the leading companies in the country with aeration, bottom mounted aeration. We did have another proposal for biological treatment, which we'll address at a later date. But anybody who's heard me talk, I oppose any and all foreign substances being introduced in our lake, which includes herbicides. And I think it's a shame that we even permit that use. But this is the first step. There are other steps. Other projects have been approved for the Lake Commission. They're going to use some clay and use some ultrasonic. But I just like the natural approach to what we're doing. The $145,000 is two-thirds of the amount of grant. The Verva Pack on it putting up the other one-third. And so we should be, it is shovel-ready, as I understand it. Within the next week or two, we'll start putting the equipment in place for it. And like I say, we're really excited to demonstrate that the natural approach to HAB is the best approach. And added to that strategy, we are taking 40 lakefront septic offline. I have proposed and received approval from my governing body to do a $600,000 shoreline extension on R. Hudson Avenue, which is the north shore of Crescent Cove. So although we approach stream restoration and forest and all that, it's really about the water. It's really about our lake. And the reason the Burger Pack-On has applied for and received this grant, I'm tired of people talking about it and doing measurements and doing tests. We know what the problem is. We're addressing it directly. And hopefully this will demonstrate that the natural process like we're doing really, really works. So I try to keep it brief. I'm sorry.
That's okay. My thanks. Let's hope that we can enjoy our beautiful New Jersey lakes this summer. I think a lot of us were impacted by that last summer, so let's hope for the best.
Yeah, and by the way, I would encourage the Greenwood Lake people to keep an eye on what we're doing, because that's another large lake, you know, and these both these lakes respectively are very important to our water. I mean, Lake Apacon is an emergency reservoir. If we don't take care of the water in our lake, we're going to be in real trouble, and by the way, it's not getting any better.
Greenwood Lake is also an emergency reservoir. Actually, the water goes to the Wanacue Reservoir. But yes, I will just let the Greenwood Lake Commission know of your work, and perhaps they'll be in touch with you. Just before we proceed, I'm just hoping that someone did let members James and Dressler know that we are finished with that last resolution. All right, so let's have any other council members have any old or new business? Hearing none, we'll move to the public comments.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
This is Lisa. I did want to just check if Member Dressler and Member James were in fact back on the call with us.
I'm back on, Mike Dressler.
Great.
How about Member James?
I'm back. Mike Dressler is back.
So Mike is back, and we're waiting for Member James.
Gabrielle. I spoke to Member James.
You spoke to Gabrielle.
And let him know he can call back.
Okay. All right. Thank you. We will now open the meeting for any general public comments. As a reminder, members of the public wishing to speak should press *9 on their telephones. Each caller will then be placed in a queue. When it is your turn to speak, the moderator will identify you by the last four digits of your telephone number, and your line will be unmuted. Please begin your comments by providing your name and any organization you are representing. When you are finished speaking, please indicate that you are done. As a reminder, comments are limited to 3 minutes. Please be advised that if you go over the 3 minutes limit, you will be placed on mute. So, moderator, do we have anyone at this point that would like to speak during the public comments?
Yes, we do. I would just like to tell the public that also you can all raise your hands at the same time. You don't have to wait to raise your hand. It just puts you in the queue automatically. And to raise your hand, the reminder is to press *9. So with that, caller with the last four digits, 4934, your line is being unmuted. Please provide your name and organization if applicable. As a reminder, comments are limited to 3 minutes, and please indicate when you have finished your comment. You are now unmuted.
Hi, Mr. Chairman, this is Elliot Ruga again, Policy Director of the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. Thank you for your words of remembrance of Candy Ashman. Candy was a founding trustee of the coalition, and until 3 years ago was the chair of our policy committee. Although Candy was more visible a presence in the Pinelands as a Pinelands commissioner, Candy was very much a vital, wise counsel for our organization. Our state is a better place because of Candy's contributions to its environmental planning and land use policies and institutions, and because of the huge number of us she has generously guided and inspired. First, I would like to thank the governor for breathing new life into the State Planning Commission. For New Jersey, the most densely populated state, state-level planning is essential to balance the multiple interests competing for limited resources. We look forward to a very long overdue update to the state plan and the state plan policy map. This is important because several DEP regulations reference planning areas as depicted on the state plan policy map to determine if certain provisions of the regulations are applicable. Also, we want to congratulate both the Highlands Council and the State Planning Commission for finally drafting an MOU, which initiates the process for the State Planning Commission to endorse the Highlands Regional Master Plan, which the Highlands Act required to occur within 60 days upon the adoption of the RMP, which was 12 years ago. When municipal officials ask us what the benefits of conformance are, we will soon be able to include that Highlands planning area conformance is recognized by the State Planning Commission as equivalent to state plan endorsement, providing the town with all the benefits that go with state plan endorsement. Also, the Highlands Council will be able to comment on municipal endorsement applications, changes in state plan area designations, center designations, map adjustments, and other State Planning Commission actions in the Highlands planning area. Another important aspect is that the goals and objectives of the Highlands Act that has not yet succeeded is the establishment of a viable TDR program. The MOU specifies that the State Planning Commission and the Highlands Council will work together to encourage municipalities to consider becoming receiving zones for Highlands HDC credits. This interagency cooperation may be the boost that finally establishes a receiving zone. And if there is one, there will be more, thus establishing the necessary basis for a viable TDR program and a market-based value for HDC credits. The New Jersey Highlands, as a special resource region, will be better protected and better understood across the state for the numerous natural and cultural resource values it provides to all of the state by the integration of the planning resources of these two agencies. Congratulations on... Congratulations on constructing a framework for the two agencies to move forward with the unified planning vision for the Highlands. Thank you.
Thank you, Elliot. Moderator, anyone else like to make a comment? Moderator, any other?
Sorry, yes. This caller has no telephone number listed. However, they should hear when I unmute the line. I'm going to unmute the line now. Please provide your name and organization. Thank you.
Okay, who do we have now?
This is George Cassa, Shannon's Fly and Tackle. I apologize for confusing the process. That's what I wanted to first express my appreciation to you, Mr. Chairman, and the other council members and council staff for making this participation by the public possible, and I would say so far it seems to be very effective, if I have not already added more confusion than is necessary. I do want to make a comment confirming Elliot Ruga's position on the draft MOU. I won't repeat all of the same issues that I think will be addressed, other than to say, personally, I'm happy to have the prospect of understanding better what seem to be several overlapping areas, specifically with mapping and cross-references in the Highlands Act, finally become clear. I do have one question. On the page 3 of the draft guide, at the very bottom, there is a reference to the regulations of the Highlands Council for that portion of the Highlands region lying within the preservation area. And I'm wondering if that's a typographical error, or are there other regulations that the Highlands Council administers that I'm not aware of in the preservation area? And finally, I'd like to know, is this document signed, or if not, when would it become effective? Thank you.
Okay, George, I don't have the document in front of me, and I think it would probably be best if you give Lisa Plevin a call, and she'll be able to answer your two questions.
Absolutely.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
George, thank you. Anyone else on the queue?
Yes, caller with the phone number ending in 1079. Your line is being unmuted. Please provide your name and organization.
David Shope, and I represent myself.
Go ahead, Mr. Shope.
A couple of things. This is the first I've been able to crack your telephone system today, so I will go back to your annual report, and on page 6, where you show a map of all the wonderful people that get the water that's generated up here, you neglect to mention the fact that the Millstone River contributes to this number, as does the Delaware and Raritan Canal, which the Water Supply Authority sells the bulk of its water from that source. So it's a misleading statement, and you should really fix it. The financial impact on New Jersey actually resulted in about 20 years, at least 20 years, of fiscal mismanagement by former governments. It didn't happen overnight. It began at least 20 years ago, and the law was passed in 2004. And now you're coming up with a economic plan? Come on now. The people who best know how to work the economics of the Highlands, with all the restraints that have been put on over the years, both by local zoning and this atrocious act, are the people who are doing it. You don't need a bunch of eggheads from points west to tell people how to run their business here. Good luck with this. This plan is nothing more than a money pit for your staff and those people who call themselves environmentalists and who get paid for showing up and attending these meetings and generating papers that make them look good. It's just a money pit, which the people, in the Highlands who own property are subsidizing by the loss of our property, the lack of use of it. And that's it. Enjoy your well-earned dollars. I will conclude now.
Thank you, Mr. Shope, for your comments. And any other comments, Mr. Moderator?
Yes. Caller with the last four digits, 4723. Your line is being unmuted. Please provide your name and organization.
Yeah, it's Hank Klump again, farmer in the preservation area. I have And again, Carl, thanks for letting me speak. I really appreciate this. I have a couple of problems, and you know, all this stuff that you're talking about is all New Jersey. If it was so good for New Jersey, why hasn't Pennsylvania, New York, or Connecticut, this, nothing. The other thing that bothers me immensely, all these people that are doing all these talking points for the economics or political stuff are people that don't own land in the Highlands. Now, these economic people, or whatever you want to call them, are telling the people in the Highlands what to do with your land. They didn't buy the land. They haven't worked the land. They haven't done anything on the land. And so I'm really disturbed by this here, because it's almost like, you know, like the state, it doesn't make sense to me. And the worst part is I'm too much of a common sense person, but when somebody that doesn't have one iota into it, invested into it, or worked all their lives for generations in this, are telling people that own the land what to do with it. So, Mr. Chairman, I hope you can. Does that make sense with you, or am I just batting my head against the wall?
Hank, you always make sense to me. Thank you for your comments. Are you concluding, or do you have anything else?
No, that's it. Thanks, Carl. Take care, and God bless.
Thank you. Thank you, Hank. Anyone else like to address the council? Do we have anyone else, moderator?
Yes. Caller with the last four digits, 1671. You're being unmuted. Please provide your name and organization.
This is Julia Summers, Executive Director of the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I apologize. I will just finish the comments that I started at the wrong time, which is to say that we very much support the regional economic plan that you propose, and are very excited to learn more about it as it moves forward. Also, to let people know that the New Jersey Highlands Coalition, ANJAC, the Raritan Headwaters Association, and the New Jersey Conservation Foundation are working together on a celebration and remembrances for Candy Ashman, which will happen by Zoom. So if anybody would like to join that, listen to it, participate, say a few words, it's happening on June 28th. It will start at 5:00 in the evening. We will be sending stuff out, but you're very welcome to send the New Jersey Highlands Coalition an email, and we'll make sure that you get the information. Thanks.
Thank you, Julia. Moderator, anyone else?
There are no other comments.
You are unmuted.
Okay. Hearing that there are no other comments from the public, before we adjourn, before I ask for a motion to adjourn, I want to thank everyone for your participation and your patience. And all the fathers out there, happy Father's Day on Sunday. Everyone, please stay healthy and safe. And we need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
And we need a second.
That's Bruce, I'll second it. Got to be able to do something.
Who was the mover?
That was Mr. Hayek.
Okay. So we do have a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed?
Aye.
Motion passes. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you all. But good night.
Stay well, folks. Good night.